Hey, church, thanks for joining us this weekend. Pastor Dwayne here. Listen, I have been waiting for this weekend and to share this weekend with you. Joining me on stage are some of our key leaders that have been involved in ministries over the summer, and I wanted to have them share some of their stories with you. So joining me on stage this weekend is Keith Scheel. Keith runs our men's ministry. We have Arda Jacobson. She is involved in our Common Threads. And we have Jerry Melmus, who is running our GAP and missions and refugee sponsorship. So, guys, welcome here. Thanks for joining me today.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
So, Keith, we're going to start with you. I've got some questions for each one of us as we move along. But you've been involved with men's ministry for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we all know COVID hit and things shifted dramatically. So how's it been going? What's been happening? And maybe give us a snapshot of your summer. How's that going?
Sure. This has been both the longest summer ever since March and the shortest summer because it's only been hot for a little bit. So
yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, we were in the middle of doing a study in James for our Friday morning men's group.
Yep.
And then COVID hit. So we had to quickly pivot into going into Zoom mode. So we lost a lot of guys there in that because, you know, the technology portion of it, some of them just weren't prepared for at the time. Then as we got rolling, more kind of came along.
Right.
But then there was also the push to meet in person again.
Right.
And I know you're feeling that pain.
I am. And we're working on it.
Okay. So we're a smaller group, obviously. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're able to meet at, like Blend's Coffee House Friday morning, 7:30 to 9.
Nice.
We sit outside. We have anywhere from 8 to 15 guys.
That's fantastic.
We have lots of hand sanitizer, things like that.
Yeah.
But we're also losing those guys who were only willing to do Zoom. So we're really kind of in this in-between place.
Yeah.
But that being said, summer is usually our kind of break.
Yes.
And so there's not really any structure in the summer. It's just about fellowship.
Right.
Which is a key thing that a lot of people obviously are missing at this time in our church.
Right.
So I'm looking at the idea of maybe doing, you know, part where we do the blends,
yep.
and then maybe doing an evening for people who just want to do Zoom. That's obviously a lot of extra work.
Yes.
But it's something that I feel that, you know, I don't want to leave people behind.
Yeah.
That's so important at this time.
And the face-to-face that blends, so that's working. You said you have roughly 8 to 15 guys.
Yeah.
And what are you hearing from that group as to how they're experiencing the season?
The group is, yeah, they feel a need to get back into the church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I try to feed the alternative yep. view that it's not going to be what we expect. This yes. is what we want. We want fellowship.
Yes.
And we can't have that in a corporal setting right now.
Right.
So let's really enjoy what we have here and let's get fed here. And I know for me, Sunday, that was our fellowship day.
Yes.
And that's the day we got to see all the families and everything yep. else. The rest of the week, we're a family of five.
Right.
We got things going on. We got kids in school and activities. Yep. And so that piece of our puzzle, that Sunday or Saturday night,
yep.
is really missing.
Right.
And so that, I feel everybody's pain in that.
What is one thing that God has taught you in this season?
Teaching us to wait. And, you know, that's a really biblical thing to wait
right.
and to do it well.
Right.
I mean, Abraham and Sarah did not do it well.
Mm.
And we see the results of that. And so I always kind of go back to that. Whenever we are being told to wait,
mm-hmm.
there's usually something there for us in that moment.
Right.
So as North American working people,
yep.
that's a very difficult thing to do because we have been ingrained with busyness again and again and again.
Yep.
If you're not busy, then you're failing.
Right.
And so learning to be at rest.
Right.
And I see a bit of a season of jubilee.
Mm.
There's a bit of, you know, a reset that's taking place for people.
When I think about the men's ministry, and you obviously have a wide representation of men that attend, I would assume.
Yeah.
Are you hearing, outside of wanting to gather again, are you hearing anything from them, how God's teaching them new things or maybe ways, different ways of viewing things?
Well, that's the beauty of the men's group that meets on Friday mornings is mm-hmm. I've been going to it for 8 years now.
Okay.
And you hear stories always. And you walk through somebody's wife going through cancer.
Mm.
You walk through somebody's relationship breaking up, someone losing a child.
Right.
And it sounds like it's a really down thing there. No, it's not. This is life.
Mm.
But we're also learning as men how to uphold each other during that and how to encourage each other.
Right.
And
right.
So I really think it's been no different than, you know, the last 8 years.
Right.
Guys are going through life.
Right.
And other guys are hearing their story. And when we hear their story, we're hearing God's story every single time.
Right.
Because we're hearing how God's holding them through this. And so it's been pretty amazing.
That's fantastic. So there's this, I sense this idea of doing life together as that group.
Yeah, I'm certainly a better father as a result. I'm a better husband as a result of the last 8 years with these guys.
Right.
And we're talking guys who are 80 years old down to guys who are in their 20s.
That's fantastic.
And so with that breadth of knowledge and experience, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Keith, I just, on behalf of leadership of the church, I want to say thank you. You've done such a great job of staying consistent and faithful.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also put in a lot of work. Why do you do it?
To him who much has been given, much is expected. And I have received so much from this church. It has transformed my life. It has transformed my marriage, everything about me as a parent. And so I can only naturally step back in as a result of that.
Awesome. Arda has been involved with our Common Threads ministry. I've been looking forward to this. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. Give us a quick snapshot of your involvement with Common Threads and kind of what an average Common Threads day would look like.
Well, I came from Calgary about 6 years ago, and my neighbor came and sorted. So I started with her, and then it got one thing after another, and you're living by yourself, and the walls start caving in after you raised four kids. And so I asked Pastor Will if I could come and work on, I think I started on Thursday.
Okay.
And then it got to Monday, and then it was sorting on Tuesday again. And it just went from there, and it's been my life since I started that, and I can get up in the morning and get ready, and there's a purpose to my life where there was, you know, my kids, my grandkids, everybody else, but this is my purpose, and I feel at home here. I miss it so desperately that it's my home, you know, and I don't know, just to see the people and how they treat you and the visiting with them, and people give you hugs and thank you so much for what you do for them. It's just, I don't know, the camaraderie and it's amazing. It's, I feel at my age, wow, I've really found something to, in the twilight of my whatever is going to be. It's wonderful.
Awesome.
And I can't thank the church enough for what they're doing and what they've done for me. It's been amazing.
Well, I think it's great that you've kind of identified that this is a place that you feel at home. And but now I do have it on good authority that you're really active over there. But take us from, just really quickly, from the time you arrive or before that, because I think you're probably doing things before that, I assume.
Yeah.
And at 9 o'clock, and then once you move through.
Well, Wednesdays I go to the food bank and pick up all the product from the food bank.
Okay.
And I can't thank them enough for what they do for us over there.
Yeah.
They are so, well, the stuff they give us is amazing.
Awesome.
And so I'm here at 8 o'clock, and the boys are waiting at the door to unload the stuff. And then we package it all up. But it all goes, and everybody, when they start coming in and the packages are there, and we get a lot of condiments and everything, we just sit it on the table for them. But people pick it up and take it. They're thankful. And I just say, oh, what would I ever do if they close this down with what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we had 34 people there.
Wow.
a young fellow that came through. He was just, he had his backpack and everything, and so we gave him, we got a lot of those sandwich or bars, you know, those power bars or whatever, from the food bank. And good old Jim Gooden, he went there. I tell you, he loaded up his backpack with that, like you can't believe. And then he had to use the bathroom, so he brought them all the way around. I know we're not supposed to do that, but sometimes you have to be break protocol once in a while. So anyway, he had, I think, about three bowls of soup, and he picked everything that he could put in his backpack, and he was heading out down the road. It was so nice for us to be able, you know, whether this was a, he was just traveling or if he was down on his luck, just to see him leave us with a full belly and food in his backpack.
Right.
You know, though, if that's, to me, I just thank God every day when I see that, that they're, you know, you can make somebody's day and make them happy. That's my life.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Well, Arda, I love hearing your passion. And I love hearing how you get excited to see somebody cared for in very practical ways. And that's, I know that that's the heart of the whole team over there. Yeah. And there's a team of, is it 6 to 8 right now?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. And you're serving soup. It's Thursdays, right? From 9 to 11?
Yeah.
So, Arda, you spend an incredible amount of time serving the people of VAC, doing lots of behind-the-scenes work.
Yeah.
So I'd like to end with one more question for you, and that would be, why do you do it?
You know, I've had a very busy life. I came from a small community in Alberta, and my dad was in the Air Force. And then my mom and dad, when he got out of the Air Force, they had a small general store in Rainier, which is a very, very small little place. And then when my husband got married and we had 4 kids, and then he was working for ATCO and gone a lot. And so I would go take different courses from here, there, and everywhere. I've been busy all my life. Then I sold real estate for 20-some-odd years. So,
right.
After raising 4 kids and being married for 52 years, I've had a busy life. I've had a very good life, and I got a wonderful family. My kids are absolutely wonderful for me.
Right.
So.
Well, Arda, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for contributing to Common Threads, and thank you for coming in here tonight. So I want to turn now to a great friend of the church, been here a long time, and you want to talk about another firecracker, Jerry Melnes. His passion for missions and his passion to serve the church in that way is unprecedented. Could you just kind of bring us up to speed on all those different areas?
Sure, Duane. You know, the first question you asked was, how am I doing through this whole thing?
Yep.
And it's been a journey. Mm-hmm. My 92-year-old mother lives with us. Our son came home for midterm break and decided that once the school closed that he would stay there. So we had our son and 2 grandchildren running around for 4 months.
Oh, wow.
And then we had a 2-week break, and then they're back.
Oh, they're back.
So I can honestly say that it's not what I expected. It hasn't been that easy.
No.
But there has been incredible blessings in it. And sometimes I think people think that it has to be good or easy for blessings to occur. But that's not true. It's in those things where you're being challenged that you see God kind of come through, and all of a sudden you get surprised.
Right.
And you go, I know my grandkids more than I'll probably ever know them. It's an opportunity that I was not expecting. My 92-year-old mother doesn't speak very much English. She actually speaks 3 languages. It's Italian, the dialect of Italian that she speaks, and English. And she'll use all of them interchangeably. And because she has a hard time hearing, I don't know what response I'm going to get. But even that is a blessing sometimes because we get to laugh. And she's just amazing. So I'm thinking, yeah, it's nothing that I would have expected. It is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to missions, part of the things that we deal with is we get to interact with a lot of different missionaries mm-hmm. in different countries and different situations. And there was this particular missionary that was stuck, basically, in an in-between country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not being able to go to his mission field and not being able to come back. And then, you know, issues with the health of his parents and her parents.
Mm.
And one of the quotes he said is that, you know, we've assumed that we are more integral to God's plan than we thought we were. And it sounds a little negative, but it isn't.
That's
because
true.
Who's central to God's plan? God is central to God's
God
plan.
Is central.
He is central. He's there.
Yep.
And, you know, every time I start to doubt that, I go back to Isaiah 9:7, where it talks about God's the kingdom of God will be ever increasing.
Right.
And he will rule forever.
Right.
And the last part of it is the zeal of the Lord will accomplish that.
Will accomplish it.
And so we can be rest assured that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. Absolutely. So even when we're sidelined or feel like we're sidelined,
yep.
God is still at work. And, you know, as I hear you guys talking, I kind of go, wow, here's some more stories where God is at work where you wouldn't probably pick it up if you were just kind of the observer walking around.
That's true.
But there's things going on, and God is active.
Right.
He hasn't taken a break because of COVID.
No.
So that's one of the things. The other things that GAP has had to do is really rethink on, you know, how are we going to do this? You know, we did the mission trip thing where we would go on a short-term mission or whatever. Well, that's shut down now.
Yep.
So that doesn't happen. So how else are we going to get around that? And one of the things that I've found is that, you know, there are opportunities with our partners that are shifting, that they're shifting away from what they used to do something else because of the situations they find themselves in. So I just wanted to update you in a few of those situations. The first one is with the refugee program. It was terrible news, and it took a long time for the committee to even come around to the understanding of the news with the Micheline family.
Yeah.
We don't know why they've been rejected. There's no real reason, and it ends there.
Yeah.
And it seems strange for us sitting here, but for that family, for someone to just say no, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You have no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
And in the situation that they find themselves in Lebanon right now, as you all know from reading the news, you know, it is unimaginable. And so, you know, those kinds of things really set you back. But at the same time, we were thinking that that could have been a possibility. And so as a committee, we decided to apply for another family via what we call a blended visa referral program. And what it is, it's this family is pre-approved. And the government actually pays for half of the cost of the first year here in Vernon. So, you know, it only took about 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, here we get this idea, hey, we're approved. There's a family coming. The Diab family is coming. The Syrians, they have five, you know, like their family of five. They're going to be here. And they could be here within 2 weeks, right? Well, what happens is the borders get shut down because of COVID. So now we're in the same place again. Here we are waiting for this thing to happen. And, you know, one of the things that'll be really interesting with that is that as soon as the borders are open, within a couple of weeks, they could be here in Vernon. So, you know, housing and all that kind of stuff and all those things that we have to do to provide for them, you know, that's going to kick into gear. And there's going to be a lot of need. And so I'm hoping as a church that we can really put our shoulder to the wheel there and welcome them and make them home, feel at home here. On a longer-term perspective, the family of Zahair, who has a cousin in Jordan, he's another refugee, we've applied for him to come over too, and his family. That's going to take almost 2 years. So we're going to have, you know, a little bit of experience under our belts before that happens. So there's things going on. I think sometimes it could be, you know, we could get really discouraged as we wait. But all I can think of is that God's timing is perfect timing. And you know what? It's going to happen and in his timing and in his way. And so we trust God for that. The other thing that the GAP's been involved in is it's amazing. The generosity of people at Vernon Alliance has allowed us to build a bit of a surplus in our GAP funds. And so this surplus in the GAP funds is being used for example, the Wellspring Foundation for Education. They train teachers and parents and you know students in Rwanda. And Rwanda has had a lockdown like we don't understand. I mean, people get shot for getting out of, you know, being in the street. And it's come hard on the heels of an Ebola outbreak in the Congo. And so we're operating right on that border, right? And so food security was incredible. You know, there wasn't any. People are starting to go hungry. And so what Wellspring noticed is that, hey, if they partner with some organizations there, they could provide food. They could provide sanitation stations for the kids to wash their hands. You know, they're not going to school yet, but they could provide it for that. Most of those kids do not have access to computers or internet. So what the government of Rwanda had asked was some of the trainers to design school classes that they could hold over the radio. And so they did 50 of these and put them together for the Rwandan government to be broadcast as they needed. So they pivoted and did that. Now, that is roughly a $200,000 endeavor. I forget how many metric tons of food they supplied, plus all this other stuff. And so we were able to take part of that and be able to support them there. The interesting part about that is that Wellspring's had to pivot, and in their fundraising, amazingly enough, there has been enough that not one single person has had to be laid off in Rwanda or here. All the trucks and all the drivers that used to take these trainers to the school, they've all been used to distribute food. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing how well they've been integrated into the community and to be able to be used that way with the little money that we provided towards that. The other thing that I wanted to bring to the forefront is Shanka. In Shanka, as you all are aware, we've been working there for almost 12 years now, I think it is, or I can't remember exactly how many it is, but it's amazing. And so what Food for the Hungry has done since COVID is met with local governments and determined what the need is there. And the need there was for food security, again, and also for sanitary supplies and protective equipment. So, amazingly enough, the budget for that for Shanka was a little over $5,000, which is exactly what we would have donated if we had taken the mission trip. So I mean, I think, man, God is amazing. He provides exactly what he needs. The other interesting part about Shanka, though, is that as far as people needing food, that's not a big deal within the community of Shanka because they have community gardens. And guess what? Over the years, we have been supporting those community gardens, the establishment of community gardens within Shanka. So you can see that God works in amazing ways. When you look back and see what has happened and now how well, how much better they can cope with the situation they're in. And just recently, in fact, just today, we've approved a project with Zimbabwe Project at a school to provide a community garden there where they'll be able to use... first of all, for extra nutrition for the kids, but then they can sell their produce to buy uniforms and provide schooling for some of the children that can't afford it. So one of the things that I just really wanted to bring forward to the church, it seems like not much is happening, but if you can just be encouraged, look around, check things out, you'll see God at work in amazing ways. And I just want to thank the church for the generosity and faithfulness with what they have been provided with and how they've shared and moving forward in that area, in those areas.
So for me, it's amazing to hear how God moves in incredible ways. And sometimes we, because of everything that we're facing here, mm-hmm. we don't see beyond. And I mean, the whole thing of missions is around the corner, around the world. Mm-hmm. And represented right here in this group is missions around the corner, mm-hmm. and around the world. And Jerry, I just want to end with one final question, of course. Why do you do it?
Well, first of all, let me just say just one thing. I want to thank both those teams. Mm. They've been amazing. They mm. really have. I mean, just a couple of days ago, I got a phone call from one of the members. And it was so encouraging just to get a phone call that yeah. said, hey, how are you doing?
Yes.
It wasn't about business. It yes. was, hey, how are you doing? Yeah. So I want to thank both those teams because they have been faithful in, yep. in you know, scratching their heads and digging in and forming those relationships yep. and doing all those kinds of things.
Yep.
Why do I do it? It's been interesting because over this last number of months, I've really come to the realization that it's not about having to accomplish something, having to strive for something, having to do this or that to accomplish the will of God.
Right.
But God calls us to join Him.
Yes.
In accomplishing His will.
Yes.
And the thing is that it isn't that hard to see then the blessing
right.
that comes from that. And that's why I do it. Hmm. I get surprised. But part of that is because He's shown me something that I didn't expect at all in what we were doing as a team even.
Right.
Right? Right. I mean, who would have expected that this gardening project that we've been working with Shanka for the number of years would translate to something like this today?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, God is working and making better places for His people mm-hmm. all over the world.
All over the world.
And that's what we join Him in, is trying to make better
yep.
places and times, and whether it's a backpack full of food or whether it's meeting and learning about Him, whatever it is, yep. that's what we join Him in, and that's what keeps me going. I mean, sometimes I get discouraged, don't get me wrong.
yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, when I hit a certain place, then the realization comes banging in again and goes, hey, hold it here. You know, you're going down the tube in the wrong place. you're going down this wormhole somewhere. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
yeah.
But that's why I do it. I mean, yeah. really, I'd love to see how God accomplishes His will.
That's fantastic. So, church, as we have shared stories, and I think that's one of the things that one of the real reasons that I wanted to have the three of you here was to share the stories, provide the testimony of toward God's activity that we have partnered with, that we have stepped forward into, and hopefully to all of us that encourages us. So I hope that you've enjoyed these stories. And I just want to say thank you to Keith and to Arda and to Jerry. Thank you so much for being here. I'll give you one more chance to say something to the church. You got 10 to 15 seconds. So we'll start with Keith because he looks ready.
I'm loaded because Jerry really hit it on the head because you said somebody reached out to you, not about business, but to say, how are you doing? And church, I think that's so important. I've actually done that on my own this past weekend. And I sent out a couple of texts and some phone calls and to people who aren't directly in my bubble.
Yep.
And the impact that they said it really had on them to have somebody reach out
yep.
that isn't always you yep. know, in communication with them, but is a part of their community.
Right.
So I encourage you, yeah, reach out just randomly to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? Yep. And be prepared to listen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Keith. Arda, do you have any last words?
These two fellows are amazing to sit and listen to them. It's been, for me to come to this church and be here, there is somebody up there that's telling me what I should be doing and why I should be doing it. Mm-hmm. And I know at times I may not look like I'm very devout, but believe you me, I talk to him quite often.
Awesome.
So, but it's... I don't know. It's just a wonderful place, and I don't know what else to say. I'm just so comfortable here.
That's awesome.
And the friends I've made here, oh, my goodness gracious. I am so blessed for the people that I've met here. It's incredible.
Awesome. Awesome.
And thank you.
Thanks, Arda. Jerry, last word belongs to you. No pressure.
Dwayne, it's, you know, you do this, and it just came to me. Quite a few years ago, Stuart preached on God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And he described God's will as a meadow.
Mm.
And so what I'm encouraging the churches to do is step out into that meadow. Mm. There are many directions and many paths, but just step out and take one, and you will be blessed. That's
awesome. Thanks, Jerry. Thank you, guys. Thanks for participating, and thanks for sharing your stories, and hopefully it brings encouragement to the church. So God bless you all tonight. So church, that's stories from our folks, Keith, Arda, and Jerry, and I hope that you've enjoyed it, and we just be encouraged by what you've heard. So church, we've just had an experience where we've listened to the testimony and stories from some of our faithful workers. In Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 to 50, there's a story about a sinful woman, or what Scripture refers to as a sinful woman, who came in and disrupted the course of dinner that a Pharisee was putting on for Jesus. And she broke this alabaster jar over Jesus' feet, and there's a whole discourse between Jesus and the Pharisee and how important this was. Now, in those days, the alabaster jar was something that was tied to a gift at a marriage ceremony. And the size of the jar and the amount of oil represented the family's wealth, but it was also broken on the feet of the groom to provide honor. Now, we know that in this story, the woman approached Jesus, and she exposed everything that she had that was of value. This was an act of bravery, faith, sacrifice, and love. And perhaps you're finding yourself like this lady in Luke, the 7th chapter, lonely, broken, and in turmoil. I just want to remind you that surrendering everything that you have to Jesus during this time is honoring. It is an act of worship. And it's a path back to your first love, like Darren challenged us last week. We each have an alabaster box, and the oil inside is our talents, our gifts, our experiences, and our blessings. And each of those costs something. You heard from our friends how there's time and there's work tied to it. But as they come and as they pour out everything that they have at the foot of Jesus, they find themselves participating in the plan and God's kingdom advancing. And they bring honor and glory to Him. So as we go into a song called Alabaster Box, can I encourage you that it's not about your perfections or being perfect. In fact, it's about playing a part in God's kingdom and taking what you have and pouring it out to Him. So during this song, let's reflect on some of the things that we are challenged by our friends and about what we can do to step into partnering with God in the work of His kingdom.